This message was preached at Trinity Remnant Church, Pella, Iowa, by Reverend Benjamin Blossom Anemheyer on February 1st, in the year 2026. This is the Word of God. Our text is from Romans 5 verses 3 through 5. Paul writes, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance or perseverance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." This ends a reading of God's Word. Last week, we began a new section in our study of the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul mentioned three fruits, blessings, or results that came with our justification by faith in Christ. First, the justified man and woman have peace with God. Peace with God is the first fruit of our justification. Secondly, they have access to God's grace. The believer is not only saved by grace, but he lives by grace because he or she has access to God's grace till the believer departs this world. And thirdly, they have the hope of the glory of God, the hope that they will be given a new imperishable body, a body without diseases, a body that will not age, a body that will not die, the same body Jesus had when he resurrected from the grave. How can you be assured of your salvation? How do you know if you have been justified by faith in Christ? Paul says you have peace with God, you have access to his grace, and you have the hope of glory, eternity in view. This looks like enough blessings from our justification by faith. But that is not all. Paul goes on to tell us about another fruit of our justification, and we will look at it in today's text. Paul says in verse 3 that not only do we have peace with God, access to his grace, and hope in his glory, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. The word translated as rejoice or glory, as used in other translations, literally means boast. So, the believer boasts in his or her sufferings. Also, the word sufferings is literally the word pressures. Paul says that the justified man and woman boast in the pressures that are thrown at them. How can suffering be part of the blessings of being justified by faith? Shouldn't the believer live a life of wealth and health? Have everything they want because they are God's children? Even more concerning is this. Paul says a justified person boasts in their suffering. Before we look at what Paul is telling us, let's look at some of the pressures Paul was talking about. What are some of the pressures believers might face in this fallen world? Paul originally wrote this letter to first-century believers who faced severe persecution for their faith. Christians were killed by crucifixion, stoning, and several other ways. They lost their sources of income, were disowned by family and friends, and were labeled as rebellious, among other negative labels. Yet, these persecuted believers boasted in their sufferings. Now, we are in 2026. Believers still face persecution, but other pressures might come upon God's people. What are some of the pressures that come upon people? Death of a family member, major illness, failed dreams, loss of job, bullying or mocking by other people, loss of reputation, sudden and prolonged poverty, and so many other sufferings. These pressures affect both the believer and the unbeliever, and it either break you or build you. The difference is that the true believer boasts, rejoices, or glories in these pressures, but the unbeliever and false Christian might not. The death of a child does not crush or break the justified. Cancer does not crush the believer, and rejection of others does not break the justified in Christ. Instead, it gives them a reason to rejoice. This is one of the ways to examine yourself if you have genuinely been justified by faith. How do you react to the pressures of life? What do you do when you lose a child, job, or reputation, or suffer poverty? Do you complain, grumble, feel pity, feel bitter and vengeful, and have anxiety over these sufferings? Paul says a true believer has a positive attitude toward the pressures of life. How should the believer boast in their sufferings? First, the believer must boast in their sufferings because of their knowledge about their sufferings. Paul tells us that the first thing believers must do to rejoice in the pressures they face is to know the scriptures about suffering. The Bible not only provides the information sinners need for their justification, but it is also the manual for Christian living. It provides information for solving all of our problems, including the benefits of suffering. Paul told Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17. How does God create saving faith in anyone? Romans 10 verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Our justification begins with hearing the Word of God, knowing who Jesus is, what He has done for sinners, and what our sins have done to God, His world, etc. The first aspect of faith is knowledge. Living the Christian life starts with knowing Scripture. Paul wrote in verse 3, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know." Every true believer must know their Scripture, including the doctrine of suffering. Knowing the Scripture includes meditation on God's Word. We are to reflect on it, mull it over, and chew on it the way a cow does its cud. The cow keeps chewing on the grass until it becomes softer before it swallows it. That is how we must handle the Word of God, for it to bring transformation into our lives. What should the believer know about suffering? Paul says, "Not only so, but we also glory, rejoice, boast in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." The believer must understand that suffering is productive. God uses suffering to produce something precious in the believer. Suffering brings great results that believers desire, as well as the results God desires in His justified people. We glory in suffering. What about the unbelievers? What does suffering do to them? Why can't they rejoice in their suffering? Suffering might break or crush the unbeliever, often destroying them. Suffering might make their situation worse off, but it brings desirable results to believers because all things, including sufferings, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8 verse 28. God uses the sufferings of the justified to mold them for His purposes and their good. So, the first thing we need to boast in our suffering is to know that believers suffer too, and suffering is productive. You do not need to know what will come out of your sufferings, but you can rest assured that God will use them for your good. They won't go to waste. Peter wrote, "Beloved, do not be surprised at a fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." 1 Peter 4 verse 12. Jesus Himself said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Matthew 5 verse 11. Secondly, the believer must boast in their sufferings because of the results of the believer's sufferings. Paul says God has a pattern for the sufferings of His justified people. He wrote, "Because we know that suffering produces endurance or perseverance." God works through our sufferings to first of all produce perseverance, endurance, or patience. Suffering produces steadfastness. The believer who goes through suffering can stand their ground in the midst of suffering. He can take the weight of whatever is thrown at him. Suffering produces toughness in the believer, and they survive every hardship. Believers cannot stand firm when they are only surrounded by a comfortable environment, but are made strong and firm when pressures are thrown at them. Secondly, perseverance or endurance produces character. Paul is referring to proven or experienced character. This is the word he used to describe Timothy. Paul says out of all the believers he knew, Timothy was the one with a proven character. "For I have no one like him, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But, you know, Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. Philippians 2 verses 20 through 22. The pressures of life produce a proven character. Lastly, character produces hope. Paul stated in verse 2 that one of the fruits of our justification is the hope of glory that believers have. Here, Paul repeats the same point that God uses the sufferings of believers to give them the hope of glory. Suffering lifts our eyes from this world to focus on the world to come. Thirdly, the believer must boast in their sufferings because of the comfort of the love of God during our sufferings. Thirdly, we boast in our sufferings because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Verse 5, Paul tells us that one of the works of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life is the pouring out of God's love into their hearts during suffering. When everything seems to be going against a believer, the Holy Spirit pours out God's love into their hearts, reminding them that they are God's children and His friends. How did Stephen, considered to be the first Christian martyr, a deacon of the church, say these words when he was stoned to death? And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7 verses 59 and 60. Stephen was not afraid to die and forgave his murderers because the Holy Spirit poured out God's love into his heart, which overcame whatever pain or agony he was going through. This is true of every true believer. We don't go through our sufferings alone but with God, and nothing harms us in our sufferings, all for our good. Paul not only told the Christians at Rome to rejoice in their suffering, he also set an example by living this way. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi after casting a demon out of a slave girl. This girl had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned her owner a lot of money by telling fortunes. When Paul and Silas cast a demon out of her, her owner became angry and accused them of upsetting the city. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. What did they do? Did they regret their actions, blame the people, or feel disappointed in God for what happened to them? No. Luke recorded that around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. They were rejoicing even in the midst of their severe suffering. There was a time when I was deeply involved in Pentecostalism, and one of the key teachings was, believe in Jesus Christ, and you won't have any problems, which we call the wealth and health gospel. However, Scripture teaches the opposite. Claiming that if you become a Christian, you will never have troubles again has no grounds in Scripture. In contrast, true biblical Christianity acknowledges that in the world you shall have tribulations. John 16, verse 33. Paul had trouble upon trouble when he became a true believer. Peter and all the apostles had trouble after trouble when they associated with Jesus Christ. Job had troubles. Abraham did. David did. Joseph did. Moses did. And several other Old Testament saints. In verse 5, Paul says, "Hope does not put us to shame, which is the present experience of Christians, not just a future promise." While the teachings of Pentecostalism will often fail people in moments of crisis, genuine faith provides resources to face and grow through difficulties. The man and woman who are justified by faith alone in Christ shall never be put to shame in this life, regardless of the sufferings they face, because we are more than conquerors. The New Testament never promises freedom from trouble. Instead, It suggests that Christians may face more suffering than others, but with divine purpose behind it. The Old Testament never promises freedom from trouble. The psalmist said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Psalm 34, verse 19. Sufferings are part of the fruits or blessings of our justification because they prove God's love for the believer. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us that it is for the sake of love that God disciplines. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Hebrews 12, verses 6 through 11. The Christian should see trials as evidence that God is interested in them. Like a loving parent who disciplines their child for their benefit, God uses suffering to perfect believers. Tribulation and suffering are a vital test of our Christian faith and profession. They show whether our faith is real or merely emotional. They differentiate between true faith and mere belief, or what we call easy believism. Trials lead to greater hope and certainty of salvation. We rejoice in the hope of God's glory, go through trials, and come out with stronger hope and assurance. Trials give further proof that we are God's children as He perfects us. Are you going through any suffering in your life right now? Did you ever suffer any trials? The very fact that God is bringing sufferings and trials into your life ought to be to you a proof in and of itself that you are God's child. Any Christian who is not experiencing some trial or chastisement had better seriously examine himself again, whether he has truly repented and believed. Like Job, we must see suffering like a refining fire that purifies gold, burning away impurities to leave only what is genuine and precious. How do you respond to suffering? The Christian response is to exalt, glory, and boast in their sufferings because of what we know about God's purposes in them. Job responded to his suffering, saying, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." Job 23, verse 10. He was expressing deep faith that after enduring trials and tests from God, one will emerge purified, refined, and stronger, like pure gold from a furnace. It signifies a confidence that suffering is a refining process, not a destructive force, revealing true character and reflecting God's light rather than sin. The Christian reaction to suffering is not to complain, question our faith, or endure. It is to glory and rejoice in them. Sufferings drive us back to Christ, help us know ourselves better, give us a more accurate view of the Christian life, and prove God's love for us and our love for Him. God uses suffering to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. He shows through our sufferings that He loves us even in our pain.